nailed to it, a crown of thorns driven into his skull, all kinds of pain. He can hardly breathe. That's how people who were crucified died. It wasn't the nails. It was the fact they couldn't breathe because of the weight restricting their lungs from taking in air. But he found breath enough to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's Jesus trying to reason through what was going on to him. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10, we're told, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. This is what he was made for. He was made for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We're supposed to be striving to perfection. We're told here that our Savior attained perfection through suffering. Do you think it'll be any different for us? In chapter 5 and verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Can we learn faster and better than Jesus? That's how he learned obedience. It is not easy. It is not easy to hold to your faith when you're suffering. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is what God has called us to do. These and so many others were forced to experience suffering. However, God was with them. He was with them, helping them. So some conclusions we can draw. God's not ignoring us. And if this morning you feel as if he is, I would encourage you to give some consideration to what we've talked about this morning. To know that God is not ignoring you. He is sensitive to what you're enduring. He's not unsympathetic toward our suffering. Instead, he's promised to bear with us through our sufferings. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy to find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes what happens in suffering is just the opposite. That's when we feel, no, God's ignoring me. I'm done with God. That's just the opposite response that the Scriptures encourage us to take. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, I think this passage has sometimes been maybe misunderstood or not appreciated in its fullest extent. It's been misapplied, I think, unintentionally. The passage says, there is no temptation taken but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we will use that passage to say, well, when you're tempted, there's going to be a way out. Temptation has a dual meaning. Temptation has to do with enticement. That's how the devil entices us to sin, things that are tempting to us. But temptation also carries with it the idea of adversity. And that is the sense, I believe, in which Paul uses it here. It certainly is the sense in which it is used in James. Adversity. In suffering is just that. There is some adversity. But there is some adversity in life that is not escapable. I mean, there are some of you, perhaps, you'd say, well, if there was an escape, I would have taken it. If there would have been some way to avoid what I was facing, I would have done it. But there are some things in life that are unavoidable, that are inescapable, that the only thing we can do is bear them. That's the way of escape. The way of escape is endurance. And here what Paul states is that Christ is there to bear with us. He'll strengthen us. He'll see us through. In Romans chapter 5, Paul describes suffering as an opportunity to grow and forge character. And if we will stay true to that process, if we will view our suffering as an opportunity to grow and character begins to forge, he says, you'll realize hope and you won't be disappointed. If you and I will stay true and faithful to the Lord, even in a moment of crisis, in the end, we will not be disappointed for having endured. Is God ignoring you today? He's not. And I hope you would be encouraged by that, by the words of the scriptures that we've considered this morning. Thank you.